In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today is the last of our meditations upon Judas Iscariot. We've learned so far this week that Judas held the money bag and used to steal from it, so much so that he was envious when our own diocesan patroness, St. Mary, anointed the feet of the Lord with costly aromatic nard, and he said, "Surely we could have sold this for 300 days' wages and given the money to the poor." He didn't care about the poor. He wanted more money to steal. So that gives us some insight into the character of Judas Iscariot. Yesterday we heard that the devil entered into Judas Iscariot, and when we became aware that it was not that he became possessed, but rather that he succumbed to temptation, and that he listened to what the devil had to say and he acted upon it. And today we hear, yet again, that Judas did not betray our Lord for any high-minded motive. You know, there's been speculation recently, well, Judas betrayed Jesus to get him to, so he would have to proclaim himself to be the Messiah. Bunk, double bunk, triple bunk. What did Judas say when he went before the chief priest? "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over? How much are you going to pay me for betraying Jesus?" 30 pieces of silver. Hey, he got a better deal than Joseph's brothers did. You know, they sold their brother to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Judas got 30. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. So again, we see Judas's character. Not only did he steal, but he was willing to sell his master for 30 pieces of silver. Judas had another god other than God, and that god apparently was money. And even when Judas was confronted with his own misdeeds, he pretended like he did nothing wrong. "Surely it is not I, Lord." Well, yes, it was him. But again, we have to remember that Judas is not too horribly different than any one of us is when we sin. Every sin is a betrayal of the Lord. Every sin is putting something, some part of creations, ahead of God. And, you know, don't we try to sometimes say, "Oh, I'm not a sinner. I didn't do anything," when we know that God knows and we know. So we're not too horribly different than Judas Iscariot. We too have betrayed Jesus. The difference is, I hope, on how we respond to our betrayal. Do we, in despair, continue to turn away from God and destroy ourselves? Or do we, like St. Peter, who betrayed the Lord, denied him 3 times, do we turn back to God with sincere repentance, with the desire to do penance, with the desire to be forgiven? We better do the St. Peter thing, because we don't want the same thing to be said of us that was said of Judas. Better that this man had never been born. Now, this doesn't mean that he was destined for hell. Now, God, because he stands outside of time, knew what Judas was going to do. But it's still Judas who did it. You know, God knows, but God didn't cause Judas to do what he did. And this, by the way, gives the lie, in my view, to the idea that there's no one in hell other than the devil and his angels. There is at least Judas Iscariot, and probably a lot more if you look at the visions of the saints and if you look at sacred scripture. But who knows? It's not for us to decide how many or how few people are in hell. That's up to God. What's up to us to do is to work to make sure that we don't add to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.